You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Stager.
All right, welcome to High School Hoops, episode 127?
No, 126.
No, 126 was last week, wasn't it?
I really don't remember.
I don't know either. We'll figure it out. If that's not the right one, it doesn't matter because it's going to go up on the 13th of
January. Right. So when you cue it, it'll be great. So it's all good. It
doesn't really matter. But before we jump into that, couple things, I'd like to give a big shout out. First of all, to Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine in the market. Go over and check them out. Mention Coach Unplugged or High School Hoops, and they'll give you $350 off. And then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's a one-stop shop for basketball coaches. I do not think you'll be disappointed. It is a little bit of everything for you as a basketball coach. So go over and check it out. And let's head off to the podcast. What are we going to talk about today, Coach?
You asked me to provide a quick hitter today. So I have tons of them.
I think just kind of thinking we've got some ideas coming up for January and stuff, but I think this is a good idea.
I would say that your quick hitter, it needs to be around your base offense. So I think sometimes people choose quick hitters based on what they think looks awesome, but it doesn't really reflect on their formation and what they're doing.
But also it doesn't formulate with what they're good at. Like,
right,
if I got three-point shooters, I better have a quick hitter that's good for three-point shooters.
Right. And so I look at, in this circumstance with this one, I had a very tall team. The year I ran this, I had, like, my starting lineup was, like, at a smaller school, like, my three was, like, a 6'4", and then my two bigs were, like, 6'5", and 6'6". So we were always looking for opportunities to get the ball inside. And so this was a set that we ran a lot because we ran the swing that year. And we just looked to get the ball inside, and we had really one good shooter and nobody else that could really shoot for licks. So we were always finding ways to get the ball inside.
Okay. So go ahead. Tell me what.
So this is just a 4-out.
So remember, this is going to be YouTube, but also on the podcast.
Right.
Describe what's happening here for people.
So not only, like, you look at this set here, it's a 4-out, 1-in. Numbers, like, you know, coaches constantly saying numbers really don't mean anything anymore as we look here. You could play the player where you want, depending on where you want the action to happen. But this play kind of is all about getting movement from different directions and then moving the ball from one side to the other. So the point guard starts with the ball, bringing it up. You have the four trailing, the four gets a flare screen on the opposite side of the ball, and then the four flares out to the corner, and then the two obviously would be setting that screen and then shaping up. as that's happening, really, we want to look to get the ball. Really, we're just creating action here to allow this simple pin down screen. A lot of times this pin down screen happens easily because your five man is not a guy that normally shoots the ball up top. Like I said, it depends on what your team you have. You have five guys that could shoot. Maybe this is not what you're going to use. Okay. Then they set a pin down and then the five is wide open to start with. So we shift the ball to the five on the right side of the floor. Okay. Coach, you see that so far?
Sorry, I'm muted there. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Then basically, as that screen happens, the person that set that pin down comes and sets a back screen. Now we're looking for a simple post touch inside from the three to the two. You could have your bigger player here. If you have a taller guard, you might get a post touch inside here.
And what's four doing at this point? What's four in the opposite corner doing?
He would be buried into the corner.
Okay. You
know? That's a great question. You know, but he'll be sneaking in afterwards because he'll be setting a pin down. I mean, a back screen okay. where we reverse the ball back. And then really what happens then, we look to set that double back screen for the five coming across for a layup.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That does make sense. So what are the three big things you're trying to get out of this? Well, you're not going to get anything on the initial pop out, right?
No, because he's not a shooter. Okay.
Right. I mean, so why would I guard five?
Right. So that's why the ball is easy to get into five because he's not going to be.
Yeah. So easy entry. Okay.
Easy entry. So once the ball gets to one side, we get that movement, right? Then we can start doing the other action. So, you know, that diagonal screen to here, and then that ball reversal, and then that double back screen for the five coming across.
Okay. That makes sense.
So, you know, a lot of times teams may switch this, you know, but then you could, you start to see a switch. You could quickly react back, you know,
right.
Where if the two decides and they decide, oh man, they're not going to switch. Well, this three could re-back here and reshape up and pin, decide to post up here for a post up here. If they decide to switch, you know, you get them on their back. That's an option out of there if they decide to switch. So that would be the one option you could do off of a back screen that they decide to switch on, which is huge.
Right. Yeah. So what causes problems with this? Not enough movement?
Well, I think one point that you make is that, you know, it has to happen quickly. You know, what is this four man doing here, right? And, you know, technically, if you got shooters, any set becomes easy to run, right?
Right.
So five man's a tall guy. If this guy is covering this guy, this five man could throw a skip right here for this guy for a jump shot if they decide to help out big time here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or if this four is a good shooter, you could just dish it to four and they have a flare and a drive in. You know what I mean? It all depends on what players you have and what you're trying to do. And we'll keep talking about this till we're blue in the face. Basketball is a lot easier when you got shooters, you know, any set you have. You know what I mean? We could talk about it every day.
Right.
Every set's got has a flaw, right? Well, this person's not moving enough right now, or this not happening here, you know?
Yeah. I don't think there's a magic solution. Sometimes people think a quick hitter is a magic solution. If your guy can't set a back screen, it doesn't matter what kind of quick hitter you run. Right.
Right. Now, like here, like if this one gets the ball here, you could simply you know, if they're going to, he could, if they're denying that pass, he could backdoor cut, you know, there's just things that you got to be able to do. Another thing is that you have to teach your players, no matter, we could go through all my list of sets here. We go list, you know, if they are overplaying or they're underplaying, like you have to be able to read the game. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think we talked about this. Do you remember when we talked about, like, I think it was like, situationals, right? It's always going to look better when you're playing somebody else. Always going to look better.
It is.
It does. Because the other kids kind of know what's going on. So.
Right. Yeah. So how do you deal with that then?
To what?
That it's going to look better, that you can't really run it in practice, that it's going to. So this doesn't have anything to do with this specific play, but I agree. I think it looks better when people don't know.
You might think this is not crazy, but there are times where we would do like situations. We've been talking about, you know, situations where I would pull a play that I wanted to put in the next week or so, and I would draw it up and have the team run it before the other team knew it.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of times I would introduce the play by drawing it up and having the play team run it before, you know, and I would have them run it a couple times, and then the other team had to respond to it. You could start to see some of the weaknesses or areas of where we run it a couple times and see what happens when somebody overplays it, see what happens when somebody underplays it, switches. You can start to see some of those things right away before you start teaching both sides of your, you know, your whole squad, the set.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Anything else with that?
No, I mean, like I said, you know, this is a pretty simple play.
I mean, we're not trying to be overcomplicated with this one. This was more for a discussion point for you and I. But I think it leads into, I love that idea of drawing it up. I do that too with my guys. I think what's going to have to happen is, that leads into the kind of the next couple of weeks with situations and stuff. Hopefully if we get everything situated with that, no pun intended. So yeah, I love that. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel here with this quick hitter. We're just trying to get some discussion points about, hey, spacing and movement and back screens. And like I was asking you, how do we get four open, five as in the opposite side, all of those things.
What do we do if they do this? Like, what do we do if we don't do that? Like, so like another thing is like, I don't know, some people have a lot of quick hitters and some have like four or five, and then they know how to read and react off of it. You know?
Yeah.
Perfect. It's all based. Yeah, for sure.
I think that's great. All right. Thanks, coach.
Yep.
Have a great week.
Same to you.
Hope you get your shot soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.